And welcome back to another Babylon podcast. I am Summer Brooks.
I am Tim Callender.
I am Jeremy Heide.
And just especially for our friend Storm Knight.
Storm, I am your father.
I have no idea why he wanted me to do a Darth Vader, but that's as good as I can do right now.
Well, if I knew you'd do that, I would have done the breathing part.
Storm Knights, we are your parents. Scream in terror.
Oh, he wanted me to do it with the fan. Never mind.
Oh,
anyway, well. Yeah. All right.
Silliness.
Much silliness.
Little bit of news, which is not so silly. Great classic, groundbreaking science fiction writer Harry Harrison has passed away. Yesterday, if I recall correctly, that would have been Tuesday.
Yes.
Age. He was in his 80s, if I remember right. But I don't have my browser up running because I don't want to crash the very delicate nature of Skype. Anyways, check out his amongst other works, he did the Stainless Steel Rat series.
Yes, we did. We actually did a Kick-Ass Mystic Ninjas episode on the first Stainless Steel Rat book.
There you go.
What I learned, I did not know he wrote Soylent Green.
Well, he wrote a book called Make Room, Make Room.
Which Soylent Green was based on.
Okay. Right, exactly.
Gotcha.
He also wrote Bill the Galactic Hero, which is a fabulous send-up of the Starship Troopers subgenre of science fiction. He also wrote a book, which if you can get a hold of, do it. And it is called Star Smashers of the Galaxy Rangers, which is your E.E. Doc Smith parody, which tends a little more toward Skylark of Space kind of stuff. But there's a touch of Lensman thrown into that. Those are worth seeking out. And he also was a pioneer in the alternate history subgenre of science fiction, which I have never read any of stuff because, generally speaking, that subgenre holds little interest for me. But those of you who are into things like Harry Turtledove's work, apparently Harry Harrison was a progenitor of that sort of writing.
Wow. The fact that Harry Turtledove could have been inspired by Harry Harrison, that's just wow.
Right. Right. And on top of it all, I understand that when I was doing a little reading, when I saw his passing, he has been an active writer. He's not been someone who's, you know, wrote books, you know, 20, 30 years ago and has stopped. Apparently there was a book published last year, and there is one that he was either working on or finishing before he passed away. So we may see some posthumous Harry Harrison work.
I thought there was another Stainless Steel Rat book that came out within the past 5 years.
And I think that is true. Again, I don't have all that information in front of me. But anyways, all you kiddies out there, go read one of your sci-fi grandparents. Pick up a book and enjoy.
That's all I have. I have no news because we have once again, a metric buttload of voicemails for this week's Feedbackapalooza. So we're going to take a really, really short break and come back with your voicemails to us.
Yay.
Not sure what to have for dinner tonight? Well, here's something to think about. PsyCorp Pizza. Dinner is just a thought away with PsyCorp Pizza.
The core is mother.
All of our telepaths at PsyCorp Pizza are P11s or higher.
The core is father.
To ensure that your pizza is accurate and exactly the way you want it.
You know, honey, I'm thinking pizza sounds...
Oh.
trust the core. When you want dinner fast, think of PsyCore Pizza.
Voicemail, a palooza, feedback, a palooza, our listeners' words, a palooza. It's a palooza of you. This is where you tell us what we missed. You argue with us with what you think we missed, and we argue back, and just all sorts of geek level fun that comes from the arguments. I really do. The debates, the arguments, when you walk by someone and then you walk by them again and you realize they've been arguing for half an hour about a TV show that's been off the air for 20 years.
Isn't that crazy?
It's awesome.
A bunch of palookas.
It's awesome. You can pick a TV show. There's a fandom out there that will argue all day about it because they love it. And ours today just happens to be Babylon 5.
And let's hear that first voicemail.
Hey, Babcasters. This is Mike in Minneapolis. I just heard your latest podcast. You guys are talking about the telepath war. And I've been thinking for a while, you know, that would be a good story for a feature film or a miniseries or a way to reintroduce people to Babylon 5. And the reason I think so is because the telepath war is largely among the humans, among the Earth Alliance. And you could have the telepath war, you could center a show around that with a largely human cast, human characters, and you wouldn't have to worry about first-time viewers of the Babylon 5 universe coming in and saying, hey, why does this guy have the big spiky hair? Why is this guy dressed like a lizard? You know, what, all that kind of stuff. You could, you know, play it in the Babylon 5 universe to attract the fans from Babylon 5, but by not involving the Minbari and the Narn and the Centauri, you could have it easily accessible by those who haven't had any experience in Babylon 5. I think it would be a good way to kind of reboot Babylon 5, if you will. I think that that would be something, you know, as they're looking at what to make Babylon 5, how to remake it into, you know, JMS was talking about doing this rebooting thing. I think that would be a good avenue to reboot that from. So it's something that the Babylon 5 fans want. I think it would make an interesting story for even non-fans that might bring them into the universe. So anyway, those are my thoughts. Thanks. Bye.
I would love to see a Telepath War movie or miniseries. I would love to see a graphic novel series on the Telepath War. I would like to see the Telepath War in some form of visual media.
I've never thought about it in terms of being an introduction to a larger, to a newer audience. I think that's an interesting take on it. Maybe this is just me being the cynical fan now. I feel like so much science fiction these days in the media is, there's very little, it strikes me, that's being made without the without an eye toward at least sequels and or an ongoing franchise.
Mm-hmm.
And I would be concerned that the Telepath War does not lend itself toward establishing a franchise.
Well, maybe if it gets just establish a couple key characters that could move on.
Well, and then,
or a new set of, you know, some kind of new set of characters that could go further than that.
I think that would be great. I mean, don't get me wrong. I'd love to see more Babylon 5. I'm with you, Summer. Anything that's visual and new and wonderful would be wonderful to have, but I'm kind of feeling a little burned these days.
Yeah, I don't. If we could convince them not to hang the budget on sequels. I mean, who's to say we couldn't do a miniseries about the telepath war and then do a mini series of, there's so much timeline there. You could do a mini series to wrap up Crusade. You could do a mini series to show, shoot, you could do a mini series on the fall of Centauri Prime or rather Veer's work to rebuild. There are a lot of stories in the Babylon 5 universe that would make a good mini series. However, Warner Brothers will never open the budgets for that, which is really a shame. You know why? Because the one thing we may rag on Sci-Fi Channel for their Saturday feature movie
Ice Spiders.
Snow sharks. I kid you not. I lost my mind on snow sharks.
Snow sharks.
Come on, man. That's ripped off from Calvin and Hobbes. How can you make a movie off something that was a Calvin and Hobbes staple? But anyway, the one thing they've always done well over the years has been miniseries.
Agreed.
I mean, some of their miniseries have blown me away in terms of quality.
I think the Dune miniseries, even with its semi-low-budget special effects, did a much better job of capturing what that book was all about.
Yeah, and there are a lot of people out there who think Children of Dune was better than Dune, the Children mm-hmm. of Dune miniseries. Mm-hmm. And you had The Lost Room. You had even The Triangle. I liked The Triangle way, way, way back when. You right. know?
Sure.
So why not let Sci-Fi Channel help, you know, and put some of that in there, you know, put some of that budget in there and let them air it. You know, it doesn't have to go on a Warner owned channel. Put it on a channel that needs some more science fiction.
Yes. Right. Agreed.
Crying out loud. There has to be a way for this to get done. You know, it might involve.
Well, that Studio JMS would be the obvious choice for that.
The point man on it, yeah.
But I don't know. I start feeling very cynical about it.
You're cynical about it because the bigger studios see their cash cow, and if they don't make, you know, $200 million in a weekend on it, they really don't care. And that's
well, but I also problem. I am also beginning to be of the belief that JMS is done with Babylon 5 and wants to move on. I think he's proud of Babylon 5. There's no question about that.
I really don't care if he's done with it. He has the clout to name a couple of people who he trusts with the universe to write something. Whether or not he'd do it, we don't know.
Well, but right, that's exactly.
Yeah. And even if he were to do that, they'd still have to find, you know, enough hookers in Vegas to blow the top brass at Warner Brothers to get them to sign on. So.
Okay. Well, I think we've beaten that.
Yeah. We can still dream. And like I said last week, you know, it takes a lot of work to be an optimistic dreamer and a cynic. You know what I'm talking about.
I do.
Hey, Babcasters, it's Mike in Minneapolis again. I'm just sitting here looking at my collection of the script books, and I see the Crusade What the Hell Happened Volume 1, and I don't see Crusade What the Hell Happened Volume 2, and I was just wondering if the group producing these script books is going to produce a Crusade What the Hell Happened, which explains what the hell happened to the continuation of the publication of the books in the series Crusade, What the Hell Happened. Anyway, that might even be an interesting story, too, because I was so interested in getting caught up on Crusade, and just like the show itself, the script books for those seem to have died or run out or been neglected or just disappeared or got sucked forward into Sector 14. So anyway, I'm just kind of curious, you know, what the hell happened to Crusade? What the hell happened? Thanks. Bye.
Well, first of all, that begs the question, is the Jason Davis in the chat room?
I do not see him.
Okay. See, my theory is, this gets back to my earlier theory, that I think JMS is ready to move on, because I think he said obviously what he needed to say about Babylon 5 with the B5 script books. And there's an intense amount of writing there. Now, one could argue that maybe he did that during a lull of other work. I don't know, but he was working on some comic books and stuff while he was working on that stuff. So I don't think that's the problem. I think his focus is just elsewhere. I think that Crusade was just such a gnarly experience for him that he just would rather move on. And again, this is all just conjecture on my part, people. I haven't read anything from JMS that says one thing or the other. You know, I don't want to be putting words in somebody's mouth, but that's the impression I come away with. You know, he's putting his efforts into Studio JMS, and that's great. That's wonderful. That's why I think that we're not going to ever see the whole Crusade story either. You know, the story that we want to hear, or the story that we want to hear about why we didn't get the story we want to hear.
I thought they put the what the hell happened on hold because they had a window of opportunity with the Echoes books.
Well,
that was something I remember very early on saying, because that we were supposed to get a total of what, three or four what the hell happens and three behind the scenes.
Yep.
And somewhere during that, we got literally radio silence for a long time.
Yes.
And one time, I believe it was one time when Jason was in the chat room, he said, there's something else being worked on. Trust me. Remember, we were literally harassing him for how cagey he was being.
Yes. Right.
And I believe they were working on the Echoes books.
Sure.
And given what I've seen of them, how much work has gone into them, I could see where they would need to push back the Crusade books a year or a year and a half to finish those in the window of time that they had.
Well, but they could have, I mean, oh God, I hate to do this because now I'm going to sound like a real curmudgeon here. One could argue that they could have produced all those and held on to them while they finished until they finished the series. I don't know. You know, I mean, whatever. Whatever. Mm. I hear what you're
striking
saying.
Striking while the iron's hot. You know?
Right. And I mean, they're fabulous books. And yes, if I had that opportunity to do one or the other, I would do the Echoes books first. But,
and remember, they have a limited staff. You know, mm-hmm. we can't ask them to work crazy, you know, 24/7 hours like we sometimes have to. But
well, we could ask them to.
We could ask, but that's not going to happen.
Sure.
Right. Yeah. But yeah, so I
know. Good point. Yes, those are valid points. You're right.
Yeah, I understand. I would just like an update.
Right.
When, if the Crusade books are back on the production line, that's all.
Gotcha.
Hey, Babcasters, it's Mike in Minneapolis again. Hey, been meaning to call in for a while. You guys were talking about the Lost Tales, and I can't remember who it was, but one of you had said that it felt like you could take that story, pull it out of Lost Tales, set it in any universe, and it would still be true. The one with the priest and the exorcism. Well, it's ironic because I had actually, when I watched Lost Tales, as I'm watching this, I'm like, this is a rerun. I've seen this one before. How could I have seen this before? And I realized JMS had written a short story called The Darkness Between the Stars for the Book of Dark Wisdom a couple of years earlier prior to that. And I had read that story, and it deals with very much similar plot and theme elements. And so, you know, that observation was spot on, and I couldn't remember what it was. I couldn't put my finger on what it was that bothered me about that. And then that's exactly what it was, is that story looked like something that, you know, you could take from any universe and just kind of, you know, put a Babylon 5 uniform on the main character, and suddenly it's a Babylon 5 story. And I think that was part of why that didn't work. So anyway, I just wanted to share it with you that was a short story that had nothing to do with Babylon 5 that JMS had taken and made into a Babylon 5 story. So anyway, keep up the great podcast, and I will talk to you later. Thanks. Bye.
Interesting.
Yeah. I did not know that.
I did not know that either. Did I make my comparison between that segment and the, what is it, the Next Generation episode, Devil's Do?
I don't know that you did or not. yeah, it's minus the flirty devil person.
No, it's a evil devil person instead of a flirty devil person, but right. Still, you know.
Well, no, but see, the difference is Devil's Do is the flirty devil person is really, if nothing else,
a con artist, right?
Yeah. Exactly, yeah. Using technology and a 1,000-year-old book and freaking out the natives.
It's an entity trying to pull a fast one.
Right, you're right about that. Yeah.
Okay.
Hey, Badcasters, it's John from Jersey from the Critical Myth Podcast. I just wanted to ask a simple question. If you take morbidium and unobtainium and mix them together, do you get plutonium? Talk to you later.
You know what? I think he's right.
Well, I've got a little morbidium, I think, in a box and on a shelf and somewhere. If you can dig up some unobtainium, I'll send it to you and you can see what happens.
I actually have a drawer here full of plutonium. I just don't know how to break it down.
With a stick.
It's a very delicate chemical. I can't beat it with a stick.
Oh, I wanted a big boom.
Hey, Babcast voicemail line. It's Gary. I'd like to apologize. I know I haven't been coming around as much lately, and you've fallen into a rut. Bad things have happened to you. And I just want to say I'm sorry. It's not you personally. It's me. I'll do my best to come around a little bit more often so that you don't go away forever. Hang in there, little voicemail line. I love you.
Aww. Well,
thanks for that, Gary, but it sounds like Mike in Minneapolis has kind of taken up the mantle, so.
Well, let's see what
he has. So get with it, you lazy bum.
Let's see what he has to say next.
Hey, Babcasters, it's Gary, and I wanted to give a little news about one of our one of the actors from the show. Mr. Bruce Boxleitner, he's long been associated with Tron, of course, even before Babylon 5, but his association is continuing, even though the movies at the moment are not. He is voicing one of the animated characters on the new, I think it's Disney Channel or Disney XD channel, Tron Uprising. So I was watching a promo for it, and whose voice should come strolling through the TV set but dear Bruce himself. He's tweeted about it as well on his Twitter account, BruceBoxLeitner.com, or not .com, but just BruceBoxLeitner. And he's really thrilled about it, and he's enjoying doing it. So I believe as this will be played, it will be airing on one of the Disney channels. So go take a listen. You'll recognize the voice, I'm sure. Take everyone, bye.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
I remember reading an interview about just voice actors in general, and I believe it was Kathy Nijinsky who did the voice for the mother on King of the Hill. never really watched the show, so I don't remember the Peggy, if I remember right now. And she said what was great about voice acting is you could show up wearing whatever. You didn't have to go through makeup trailers. She said she was 9 months pregnant and still had a job. And I think a lot of actors find that appealing to do voice work.
Mm-hmm. I have fun with it. I'd like to do more. But has anybody seen Tron Uprising yet?
I haven't.
Neither have I.
Oh, bad. We're so bad.
We have other stuff to do.
Believe it or not.
Yeah.
This is Neil from Thor, who was stunned to hear a new welcoming there on the voicemail line. Anyway, I'm listening to show 263, which beginning was right when the first volume of Echoes of Our Conversations was being released there, and for that first volume, none of the Cafe Press coupons was working for that, but they must have heard a lot of complaints from us, because, you know, then starting with the second one, we were able to find coupons, and then they were able to work with those, and so that's still going on, which is good. And these volumes have been quite fascinating, lots of interesting material in them. The CDs that have come with them have been just great. The bonus interviews have been quite a treat hearing those as well. So anyway, great series, and I'm looking forward to the next few volumes of those as they come out. That's all.
Hmm.
The it's Publishing 180. That's their official name, right?
Yes. Yes.
That's right. They are an exemplary company when it comes to customer service. There's no doubt about it. We've gotten a couple emails over the years about people saying, hey, I ordered the book, it had a problem, they took care of the problem. And, you know, we've also here at the Babcast have certainly enjoyed the interaction that we've had with the staff there. So, yeah, support good people and doing good things. Pick up some books.
They're giving us more B5. We have to love them.
Mm-hmm.
They're picking up all the little scraps for us.
Yes. Making sure none of it is lost to time. Which is very important.
Yes. You are finite. Zathras is finite. Time is infinite. This is wrong tool.
Well, listening up from Boy, listening to show 263 and hearing a discussion there, just needed to point out that, in our two special episodes, didn't you go over the comics, we did completely forget about the special little Jakar and Franklin piece that was in the Lost Tales. Well, in some of the copies of Lost Tales, it wasn't in mine, but luckily some people had made a copy available online. So I was able to see it after the fact, and it's a very nice tribute to the two actors, but that wasn't covered in the episode, so I just wanted to bring that up. And also, I didn't remember how much Gary disliked those first 11 issues. As you'll hear in the next episode, I liked them a lot more than Gary did. But that's all.
You know, I don't know why we overlooked that. It's funny. I don't think of it as a comic book. I just think of it as a tribute.
We talked about it a little tiny bit. Not much. I remember going and getting my copy of Lost Tales off the shelf and flipping through it. But no, we didn't dedicate as much time to it as the other issues because it was very, very limited, and it was a sort of you know, thank you for all you've done. We remember you. We miss you kind of thing.
Yeah. Yeah. It's not even a scripted thing. In terms of a story, I mean, it's obviously scripted. I'm sorry. That was mm-hmm. a choice of words, but it is. It's, you know, on a thousand worlds, the names of Franklin and Jacquard are remembered with reverence or however it went. I mean, it was very, very touching.
Well, this is Neil from Bowie listening to Show 263 and the conversation about the short stories and are covering those later on. And I, now that I have copies of all of them, I did read, you know, the B5 magazine ones at the time. And I haven't had any of the amazing stories until now. So, but I am half dreading reading the Space-Time and the Incurable Romantic based on Tim's thoughts there. But we'll, I'm going to see what happens when it comes time to read that. Anyway, that's all.
Yes, yes, Neil, I'm glad that you were able to get a hold of those. They are very elusive. And we will obviously do our geeking on that when the time is in the fullness of time, as Delenn might say.
Hey, Badcast crew, it's Sparkle. You know, you guys, I was surprised to see this because I kind of figured, JMS's name being attached to it, it would have come up. But I just got through watching, Underworld Awakening, finally. Long story. I love these movies, but it just took me a while to get to the fourth one. And it gets to the end, and right there in the credits, the screenplay was co-written by Straczynski. And I actually had no idea that that was the case. So, yeah, that's pretty cool. Well, for me anyway, I actually enjoy these movies. Well, okay, the second one was pretty weak. But, yeah, I was not aware of that, so that was a nice little surprise there. All right, that's all I got for you. Bye.
I'm not a fan of the movie, so I had no clue.
I just hadn't had any interest in them, so I never watched them. It seemed like a weak copy of Blade to me, that's all. I could be wrong.
That genre just doesn't do a whole lot for me to begin with.
I like to watch Kate Beckinsale in tight clothing.
So. Yes, there is the
appeal.
But
that's what the internet's for.
Yes, many, many, many people enjoyed watching Kate Beckinsale in painted-on leather kicking ass.
Yes, well. Now, speaking of scripts, for a while there, the Straczynski version of the World War Z script was available online. I don't know if it is still out there or not.
Still is. It is. There's two versions. There's two scripts. He posted. There's a link on his Facebook page. Someone forwarded it to us, either in the chat room or an email, and I followed the link and I downloaded them. And after I downloaded them, I realized I had downloaded them last year.
Oh, wow. They've been around
that
long?
Yeah, they've been out there since, I'm going to say, August or July of last year. So, yeah, there's two PDFs out there. And as far as I know, like as of literally, 3 weeks ago, a month ago, they were still available freely just out there.
Well worth checking out, people. I read a little bit of the one that I know of. Man, you know, again, it's just one of those things. You kind of read what he was doing with it. And if you've read the book, you could see where Straczynski really, at least again, what little I read, he seemed to have captured the essence of what that story is about. And one can only imagine that if they're having all the problems they're having with that, that whoever came along to do rewrites really screwed the pooch.
Well, that's just it. I don't know how they're going to do rewrites because principal photography on the movie was finished. How in the world do you bring in somebody to rewrite a script for a movie that's already been filmed?
Well, because you go back and reshoot it, in essence. Yeah, I mean, I read a little bit about it. It's highly controversial. And they are. I know. Hey, believe me.
That's not controversial. That's creatively. That's worse than throwing pasta on the wall and hoping it sticks. How that whoever edits that is going to have to be a god, an editing god.
Well, again, my impression from what I read was they're in essence reshooting the movie. I mean, for all intents and purposes, that's not what they're saying. That's not what you're necessarily going to read, but you kind of read between the lines, and that's what they're going to be doing.
Right, and Brad Pitt has that much time in his schedule.
Well, what else is he doing? Babysitting Angelina's kids?
Still does not bode well.
No, oh, I agree with that completely. No doubt about that.
Hello, this is Peter from New York. I was listening to your recent podcast. I've been a listener since the beginning. I think I started when you guys were at show 50, and I finally caught up about a year ago. But anyway, I've been saving a lot of my comments until now. And with the recent episodes, there was a lot there that I wanted to pick up on. In the most recent Feedbackapalooza, you guys were talking about Grey 17. Grey 17 is definitely below Grey 16, meaning it is towards the outer edge of the hull. In the beginning, of course, there is a worker working in the floor of Grey 16. He gets pulled through the floor and killed, of course. And that means he's getting pulled down. Of course, he's got to be being pulled towards the outside of the station because that's where the rotation would make the gravity go. Everyone is being pushed downwards towards the outside. I also wanted to talk about...
Grey 17. I believe there's a horror movie called Drag Me to Grey 17.
Yeah, the ring of Babylon 5, the closer to the core are the lower numbers, the closer to the hull are the higher numbers. And I believe each section has 35 levels.
I would not refute that because I don't know.
I remember one of the diagrams or the maps or the security manual, somewhere there's like literally you have each area has a color and each color has 35 levels, I believe.
Okay. I'm sure somebody out there would know.
Yes.
All right, Jeremy, carry on.
You mentioned the video game I Found Her. I am the moderator on the forum for that game.
Ooh.
And the game is definitely still in production. It is definitely of Russian origin. And when the time comes, we would be happy to either have the creator or myself or somebody come on and talk about it. It's kind of quiet right now only because the game has been in production for so long that everyone who has been there has either played it and moved on or is waiting for the next update to come out. They are completely rewriting the engine, and the game should be totally different in the future. In a couple other quick things here, I will try and move quickly through these, but I wanted to tell you guys of some stuff on the internet that you do not know about, or at least have not mentioned at all. First of all, you talked about the graphic novels for Sinclair Going to Minbar. I have the compendium book, and yes, the paper is still garbage. It is the old newsprint, and it is very blurry and washed out. It's a sad, sad thing. I would like to point out an audio drama called Novo B5. Definitely look it up, N-O-V-O B5. And it's a takeoff on a next generation of what would happen in the Babylon 5 universe with David Sheridan. And I personally think it's very good. On that note, you never mentioned that there was a fan production of the Crusade script with Alfred Bester. So Darker Projects did an audiobook, an audio drama of that production, and you should definitely check it out. Two quick things, really quick. Blueprints of Babylon 5, look for starbase79.com. It looks like a unpublished blueprints that somebody had made. But they do look pretty pretty good there. Amazon.com, strangely enough, has a sci-fi compendium book by Von Hepner called Strontium 90 that seems to have a Centauri Primus on the cover. I don't know why, but it's there. I wonder what the implications of that would be were anyone to find out. And are ships copywritten? Who knows? One last thing. I have written explanations of possible ways, possible explanations for like the Triluminary and the Day of the Dead and the alternate timeline for Talia, three of the biggest controversial topics on your show. And I emailed them once. I will email them again. Hopefully you guys will pick up on them this time and maybe just give them a quick read through. They're not perfect, but at least there are some theories as to how these things could be plausible in the Babylon 5 universe. Oh, and Tim, I hate to break it to you, but it's not magic chalk. The chalk is just chalk. They drew a line. They knew how far it would, the effect would be, and they drew a line just to let everybody know where it was going to end. That's it. Just chalk. Anyway, take care. Thank you for years and years of giving me something to listen to while I do my long commute to work every day. Hope to talk to you guys soon. Again, I apologize for this being so long. Bye.
You were doing so well until you brought up the magic chalk.
It's just chalk.
It's like Harold and his purple crayon.
It's just chalk.
It is. And I hope we haven't gotten people in trouble now with potential copyright infringement with all the various things that he mentioned there for
I don't know about the blueprints, but darker projects they were in the habit of getting clearances for the stuff that they were doing. The one, I think they did a Doctor Who thing, but it was only available for a short period of time because of, I guess, licensing or whatever. But I did not know that they did. I have to go over there and check that out. But as for the artwork, you know, Centauri artwork showing up on non-Babylon 5 stuff, you'd be surprised what shows up where. I mean, we still have no idea why the station, why the Babylon 5 station is smack dab, visible, clearly identifiable in the menu for the Space Above and Beyond DVDs. I mean, see, how do you explain that one?
Homage?
Oh, it had to be. There was a fan working on those menus. Had to be.
Yeah, right, exactly. Had to be. I agree. I don't know. Anyways. Yeah, so we'll have to also check out the Novo B5 as well and see what's up with that.
Wait a minute, did you want to talk about the game also in there, Tim?
Sure.
Has anybody played it? Have either of you guys played it?
I looked at it, and I don't believe they had a Mac version, and I'm a Mac guy, but I'm not running any Parallels or Virtual Machine or anything. So I never, you know, I kind of poked around the website a little bit. It looked intriguing, but as Peter was just saying, there wasn't a lot of, it didn't seem like a very active spot on the web. I couldn't tell whether or not there was any production being done or if it was, you know, people had come and gone and had their fun and that was the end of it and it's just sitting there. So it's kind of good to know that it's still in production, but yeah, we'd love to have like an ETA so people who are into that kind of thing can really.
Yeah, I'd love to talk to any of the people involved in maintaining the site or building the game. So definitely.
Send us emails.
Hey, Badcasters, this is Gary. And I realize that not everyone might be on Facebook, but if you're a Babylon 5 fan and you haven't been on it lately, you really need to go on. I don't care about, you know, what you ate for lunch or where you've checked in at or anything like that. But there is some really cool B5 information and pictures coming out in Facebook form right now. There's a Babylon 5 behind the scenes, which showcases a lot of, I believe the guy's name is, at least on some of the boards, is Triple F, who's done a lot of work on the special effects shots and things like that. Sandra Bruckner from Zocalo Today has been posting a lot of her old pictures online. And there's also a Babylon 5 Facebook picture project running. And you're getting a lot of fans putting up a lot of both custom-made as well as some shots and advertising and things that I haven't seen before either. So I would definitely recommend.
And we lost him there. I think this is the next part.
Damn, voicemail is always too short for me. Anyway, go over to Facebook, even if you don't like it. Make up something and just so you can get on this stuff. Jason Carter's on there lately. He's been hilarious. Of course, Pat Tallman's there. Go take a look around. JMS, of course, has been posting like a theme there. You don't get his stuff on Usenet anymore, guys. You got to go over to the Facebook or Twitter, but primarily Facebook. So head over there for, what is the current B5 information dump, as best I can tell. I can't find a better place. Take care, everyone. Bye.
All right. And you can be Gary's friend, too, if you play your cards right. No, go ahead.
Yeah, I will have to see how many of those are actually open pages or Facebook only pages. If they're open, I think the B5 Scrolls repost or whatever he's doing there is open and available to non Facebookers as well as to Facebookers, I think. But we should probably collect links to all of this stuff to help other B5 fans find them.
Yeah, we probably should.
Hey, I'm behind the curve on my podcasts. I'm actually finally getting to listen to 264, and you're asking about the station. I'm sure other people have responded by now, but I thought I would contribute. Skrzynski said that at the wrap, when they said, okay, that's it, folks, we're done, he walked in and walked right over to it, picked it up, and took it with him. He said he wasn't leaving that behind. And, yes, he has some other stuff, but the station from Sheridan's desk is his, and he's got it at home. He says he didn't get a whole lot of other things, but he got that. Okay, bye.
Excellent. All right.
Good to know. It's in good hands.
Yes. I still would like to see a good picture of it, though.
Yes.
Yeah, so JMS, when you got a moment, point your iPhone at it, give us a pic. Yeah.
Send it to us.
So yeah, we'll
that's
we'll,
babylonpodcast@gmail.com.
There you go. Okay, let's take a really quick break. Refresh our beverages and our brain cells and come back and do the rest of these voicemails.
Yeah.
Isn't it time that you got away from it all? Now that the Shadow Wars have ended, the planet Zahadoom has undergone a huge renovation and has become the playground of the galaxy. We invite you to come see our new massive casinos, our five-star restaurants, luxurious spas, and the finest entertainment in this sector. Come see the masterful technomages Galen and Roy, as they dazzle your eyes with the multicolored light spectacular. Come see the original music performances of the Pandorian Blue Man Group, or cross the street and see the original music performances of the Andorian Blue Man Group. And of course, you can still catch Cirque du Soleil. The White Star Cruisers are waiting to take you on the vacation of your dreams. Zahadoom. No one leaves the same as they arrive.
From Bowie. I downloaded another batch of podcasts on this weekend, made a CD, just loaded it into the car on my way off this morning, and just when I heard the opening music again, I don't know, just felt like, this is another great day to listen to the Babylon podcast, and I'm on my way. That's all.
I am so happy we can make your day better.
Yes.
That makes us feel better about all of the time and love and energy we put into this, because it makes you guys happy. It makes us feel good.
If it makes you a productive citizen, then we have done our job. Please continue on with your employment, Beth.
Hello, this is Neil from Bowie, listening to show 265, which at the beginning of the show talked about Wilbur Conings getting his star on the Hollywood Walk of Fame. And so I think by the time we have a feedback at the Palooza, which includes this message, he might have actually got his Walk of Fame, because that's in sometime in September. So anyway, just a reminder about that if that hasn't happened yet. That's all.
Neil, I find your lack of faith disturbing, that you'd think it would be 3 months before I'd gather up all the voicemails and get them out. 2 months. Yes. But yes, Walter Starr's celebration is coming up, and we are happy for him. And there we go.
This is Neil from Bowie, listening to show 255. And, you know, with a small group with Tim leading the charge there. Tim, we did get a couple words in edgewise there talking about Van Balen's name. And if I recall correctly, I don't think there was a linesman note most mentioned during the episode. Of course, there will be now this feedback if this is aired. That's all.
Well, if you're keeping score at home and have your shot glasses ready, that's actually the second linesman reference, because I made a reference in the open. So there.
Oh, I just don't want to point him. I'm actually reading echoes of all our conversations, volume 5, and right off the bat, they've got a Neil Gaiman interview talking about Dave the Dead. And they ask him, how did you select the characters that would appear in Day of the Dead? And he tells about, he says, I wanted to bring back Morden, but I didn't want to do Morden and Sheridan. And continues on, mentions Lanier never actually met Morden, but I wrote a line which we wound up cutting. In my first draft, I was talking to Joe, and I liked the idea that they'd met at some ethical history congress on Babylon 5 3 years before, had a long chat, and got on quite well. But Lanier never quite realized who it was he'd been talking to. Lanier is the only innocent on B5. He's this little ray of sunlight, so it seemed right that if anybody... But also, he's the only one who's actually coming to Babylon 5 with an inkling of what's going on, who's going into it of his own free will. So I like the idea that he gets more than he bargained for. Anyway, there's that question there, and he also answers a few others in there. So, just wanted to mention that. That's all.
Really, Neil? Really? Do you really want me to start going?
Hey.
Because I will. I'll go.
Hey. Behave. This is a good thing. Because earlier today on Twitter, Neil Gaiman tweeted out that he had dug up and reposted to his blog an interview he had done with Harry Harrison in the 80s when he was in his 20s. So,
well,
yes.
No, here, let me make something perfectly clear. I have nothing against Neil Gaiman as a writer. And in fact, his Doctor Who script was magnificent. The Doctor's Wife was fabulous. I think that's the thing. I think his style lends itself more readily to a show like Doctor Who, which is a little more freewheeling, where the rules are a little more wibbly-wobbly and timey-wimey. And I just, you know, the bottom line is I don't think that the kind of stories he tells work well in this Babylon 5 universe. I mean, that's really the bottom line.
Okay.
So there. And I mean, I could get more granular. I disagree. At that point in time in the saga of Babylon 5, Lanier is much less an innocent than he was in year one. And we've already seen now, you know, maybe that's information that Mr. Gaiman is not necessarily aware of. I don't know how much he followed Babylon 5. So, you know, again, I'm just conjecture here. But clearly the Lanier arc was heading in a darker direction. That was obvious, you know, as you were getting into year four. And if you watched, is it Interludes and Examinations? Yes, where Lanier shows up in the bar where Marcus has beat everybody up and, you know, tells Marcus, but Lanier says, you know, this is a time we're supposed to tell somebody something. And he says, I'm in love with Delenn, but I know she's promised to another. All right. That's not somebody who's innocent. That's somebody who has an awareness that life isn't all peaches and cream.
I beg to differ, because the next thing he says is he deludes himself by saying it's a pure, like higher kind of love. And that's just crap.
Right, but again, that's not innocence.
It is. That is naivete. And
that's delusion.
Trying to believe in an illusion instead of accepting the truth, that is a form of innocence, dear.
No, that is not a form of innocence.
It's not evil. You're trying to believe in a fairy tale. He's trying to hold on to that fairy tale because the truth hurts too much.
Right. And that's my point. An innocent would be completely oblivious to all of that. I love her and she loves me and everything's fine. That's not at all what he's saying. He's very much aware that the universe is not going to play out the way he wants it to play. And he deludes himself because he can't face the pain. An innocent doesn't feel that pain.
I think we need to find like the entire interview so you can read and get more context of what Neil was going for. It probably won't change your mind, but I still think it'd be a cool read. But
I would like to read it. There's no doubt.
Yeah.
Anyways. And it's magic. And it's magic chalk.
It's just chalk, baby. It's just chalk.
Hello, this is Neil from Bowie. And I was looking at the Echozora Conversations of Volume 5 this morning. And in reading a couple interviews, I saw mention of an unproduced Peter David script for Season 5 called Gut Reactions. And so it might be an interesting episode of the podcast to do some more discussion of what was going on with that script. Check your email for more information. That's all.
Yes, it seems to me that I either saw that email or read something about that, and it was pretty obvious. I think Bill Mumy was also involved in writing it. Yeah, we'll have to do a little more research. I don't know if that warrants a full-on podcast, but I think we need to look into that.
Mm-hmm.
Hello, this is Neil from Bowie listening to Show 267. And in between parts, there was a really nice Zaha Doom promo big commercial thing. Anyway, kudos to you behind that. That's all.
What? Wait, huh?
I don't know anything about it.
I'm not sure either.
Wait, play that again.
Okay.
Hello, this is Neil from Bowie listening to Show 267. And in between parts, there was a really nice Zaha Doom promo big commercial thing. Anyway, kudos to you behind that. That's all.
Have the shadows hacked into our account?
I don't think so.
Have they invaded our podcast?
Now, which episode did he say? 264? I'm trying to remember, because there were a couple of episodes in there where I dropped in the trailer that Jeffrey made that starts off with the real serious Keith David opening and ends up with us laughing our asses off.
Yes, yes.
And by the way, I have to find that episode because someone asked me which episode it was. And I think it had something to do with Girl Scouts. I don't remember, but I have to go look for it and find that link for somebody. But the only other thing that I've used the Ivanova. The Ivanova mantra, the one that says, "Who am I?" I've used that in there, but that wasn't from Zahadum.
I don't know.
Hmm
is right.
Interesting. And I have to, if you haven't seen it, go to the website. I have posted a couple of tweets by an old friend of mine, an author, Scott Lynch. He used an Ivanova reference to describe the incessant barking of his dog, and it's one of the funniest things I've read. It still makes me laugh. It still makes me laugh. And I could, cause I can hear his dog saying that in Ivanova's voice. Who am I? I am Ace. 90-pound Briard. And I just that whole line in that Ivanova's barely contained rage, you know, I am the last thing you will ever hear. Just, I am the right hand of loudness, I think was one of the lines in there. But yeah, you have to see the tweet and then just imagine Ivanova's voice saying those words. Hilarious.
Very cool.
Yes.
Well, this is Neil from Boyle listening to show 237, and I was surprised that neither Tim nor Jeremy have Babylon 5 magazines. Summer has mentioned several times that she has those, so maybe when we do the collectible show, Summer and I can talk about the magazines along with everything else there, or maybe that will need to extend that show or have a whole another show, some other material. That's all.
Yeah, I'm just a bad person when it comes to collectibles and finding those artifacts. I have no other excuse.
I was selective about my collectibles. I decided early on not
You're
to go down. Yes, I'm selectable. I decided early on not to go for the toys because A, they take up room. B, they break when you move them a lot. And C, they need dusting. So I decided to stick with books and magazines and trading cards, because trading cards, they're compact. You can stuff them in a drawer.
Sure. Yeah.
Yeah.
I just didn't even think about it when they were out. I was like,
Yeah,
yeah,
I mean,
I know,
if
that's
I had seen,
really my thing is ignorance.
Yeah, if I had seen, like, did Revell do a model of the station? They were planning to.
Yes, they did.
Did. Okay, yeah. If I had seen that, I probably would have got that and stuck it up on the top of a closet shelf along with the Cylon Base Star I used to have.
Hmm.
Yeah, that was a cool one because it was like one of the original ones from like the 70s.
Right. Wow.
That, I believe, right now is at Mike's house at the studio. Uh-huh. It's in the studio on a shelf in the studio.
I built both the Viper and the Raider, and they are spring loaded and shot little torpedo things out of them.
Now, did they just poke them out, or did they actually launch?
They launched, but by launch it was like sprawling, and they went maybe, you know,
two or three
inches.
Feet. Yeah. Well, no, those are rare. The ones that went sprawling and actually launched the little things, those are rare. You could get like $50 for those on eBay.
Well,
at one point. At one point in time, you could have, because apparently having that little red thing was a swallowing choking risk.
Yes.
And so the newer version, like when you fire the weapon, it just poked out like a little puppy sticking out its tongue.
Its tongue.
I will lick you to death.
Yeah, like, you know, like literally, it's like a 3-year-old sticking out their tongue at you.
Right.
And it didn't detach from the thing. So if you had, I had a Viper that actually did have the detachable firing, and that one sold big. I was lucky. I still have the other one though that doesn't with it. Anyway. Toys I have, toys I wish I had. Another podcast.
Hello, this is Neil from Bowie, listening to show 267. Even though it's Feedback Palooza with Leslie Mike Hall in there, I still needed to call in because there, in the second break, there was a great Shikara promo from TNT. Just kudos there for putting that in. It's great to hear that again, and I hope that there will be more of those in subsequent podcasts. Keep going.
Okay, now that one I know what he's talking about. that's the audio from the Jakar.
Yeah.
From TNT the Jakar trailer, TNT promo. Yeah. And I believe there's the Ivanova one too. I have that. I don't think I've used the Ivanova one. But I don't know what Zahadum one he's talking about. I really have no idea.
I don't either. He's just getting weird on us.
No, there was one where I think there was one time where I used the Ivanova one and the President Roslin one back to back.
I like the weird theory better.
Okay.
Well, this is Neil from Bowie listening to show 267, just heard Tim and Jeremy's response to my note about the Universal not getting it right with Quantum Leap DVDs, and I guess neither of you actually watched the show because it, the Tim solution of them writing their own music definitely wouldn't have worked for the music that was replaced on the sets for Quantum Leap, because the music had, in those cases, there was some historical meaning to the music in those episodes. But anyway, maybe Summer can fill you in some more sometime if she saw it.
Okay. Well, apparently Neil has leapt in from another universe into the Babylon podcast. See, the obvious joke now is that he's in a woman's body, but I won't make that joke.
Nope,
I did
not.
I did not make that joke. Not at all.
Nope.
You can't make me make that joke.
Nope.
You could have said it more succinctly to just say he was pregnant.
Yeah.
Ha!
He is?
No, that's not what I'm saying.
Oh, okay.
Hey, this is our last one.
Fabulous!
So, here we go.
Let it go.
Hello, this is Neil from Bowie. In the end of show 267, Tim was wondering if Summer had something which would talk about the station layout of Babylon 5, and she does. It's the Babylon 5 security manual. In section 1.2, has station layout, his geography there, mentions, you know, all sectors are color-coded. They consist of yellow, red, blue, gray, green, then one of 36 sector numbers, each denoting a 10-degree region, than a level or deck number, and so forth. A lot of that information is in the Babylon 5 security manual. It doesn't explicitly talk about how the decks work, but you can probably figure it out from there. That's all.
And I think given that Neil knows what's in Summer's collection is proof positive that Neil jumped into Summer's body and caught Summer for an episode.
I'm so not going there. I mean, yeah, Bowie is right down the road from where I grew up, but I don't think he knows how to jump into my head. Either that or he pays a lot of attention when I mention stuff that I own and he writes them down going, okay, she's got that, so I've got to get it. So I'm going with plan B there. But yeah, no, I was hoping
that's
that somebody had actually, yeah, it is. Cause, you know, he envies my collection and wants to one up me, but I was hoping for like an actual set of blueprints, because one of the coolest things I found that I never expected to find where I found it was a set of Battlestar Galactica blueprints from the original Battlestar Galactica. They're actually in a vinyl snap case.
Uh-huh, and they're kind of like the Enterprise ones from back in the day.
Yeah. And you snap it open and, it's, I guess it's
spread them out on your bedroom floor.
Yeah. You unfold them like real blueprints. And the fact that I found them at a used bookstore, like just stuck on the end of a shelf, I'm like, how did this get here? It's mine now.
Yeah, right. See, I think that's one of those instances when the universe is looking out for you.
Yes. And I mean, I found this, believe it or not, in New Jersey. And the fact that I found it was cool. And, but I wonder, I'm like, why didn't they ever do this for Babylon 5? Cause I would have, it would have been cool to see actual like blueprints laid out for the station, for say the Agamemnon, for say, the Mimbari battle cruisers. Wouldn't, I mean, those would have been nice.
Yep. It gets down to, I think, the whole infighting thing with Warner Brothers and their little divisions and fiefdoms. I think that's, you know, that's why we didn't get that kind of stuff. I hate to say it, but it's, I think it's true.
Hmm.
So, for what it's worth. Well. All right. Well, we made it through another feedback-a-palooza. Whew! How are you feeling, Jeremy? And, you ready to go another round?
Oh, yeah, sure.
Let's yeah, we have
24.
To. Sure.
All right, bring it on.
Believe it or not, I bet you we already have five more messages already.
I think Neil's probably leaving him while he's typing stuff in the chat room. Yeah.
That I would believe. That I would believe. All righty.
Meta.
Are we done?
I think we're done.
I think so.
Are we done today?
Yep.
We're done for now.
Okay. Well, thank you for sending in your voice message. Thank you very much to some of the new voices we've heard today. Peter, don't hold back, Mike. Dude.
Yeah.
Don't hold back. Yeah, this almost was a Minneapolis-palooza starting out there, wasn't it?
It really was.
But yeah, people, if you haven't called in, The time is now to call in. We're running literally. There's a deadline approaching. I believe at our current pace, our final episode will probably be early October.
Yes.
Unless something amazing happens in the next month and a half. But as always, the website is BabylonPodcast.com. The email address is BabylonPodcast@gmail.com. If you want to send in notes, send in questions, send in links to really cool Babylon 5 stuff that you haven't heard us mention before. If you're involved with the game and you want to contact us to get on the show, BabylonPodcast@gmail.com and Summer@sliceofsci-fi.com. Call us, email us, whatever. And Farpoint forums are still out there. We lost most of the 39x5x12. I can't even remember what it is. We lost most of the never-ending thread, but it's still going. It's still out there. What else would... Oh, donate if you can. Subscribe to do donations if you can. Yes, we have all been paying for all of this out of our own pockets, and it's, as everyone knows, it's a little rough out there. So if you can spare a dollar here and there, every bit of it helps to keep the site online. It really does. No magic beer
fridges. No
amount
is too little.
Well, yeah, no amount is too little, but there's no magic beer fridges here. This literally goes to keeping the site up and running, humming along like the station itself. And if you want to call in your own voicemail message, that number is 206-338-2259. That's 206-338-2259.
The other way, all finally realize that it really is magic chalk and it's all bogus and there's no way you can convince me otherwise.
And we'll see you next time on the other side of the precary homeworld.
It's all their fault. I wasn't even going to talk about it, but they had to bring it up. They're the ones that called in. It's not my fault. I'm just kidding.